Here we are, coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52. This is Pastor Mike with you today, just waiting for you to show up today. That's what I'm doing today. Today is, I'm going to start a new program based on Benny Hinn's very successful television show called This Is Your Day Today. But it won't be tomorrow or Saturday or Sunday or Monday or whatever. But today is going to be your day. I'm going to read your emails, whether I like them or not. And I'll read your emails and I'll look at your news artifact. I've got some pulled up here already for everybody. I went kind of looking through some things that had already been sent in. And there's everything that I'm going to do today is going to come from you. So if you have any comments or questions, please feel free to email them to PastorMikeOnline@gmail.com. And I will read your request. There was one thing I want to go ahead and do already before I forget about it. Donna, our software author, chief architect of the Bible Pure Bible Search software, says she is having surgery next week. And in Chicago, now that's the only thing that scares me, is having surgery in Chicago. I don't know what to think about that. But anyway, and she is wanting us to pray for her, and we are certainly going to do that. So be praying for her. Lift her up before the Lord. And somebody is asking, let's see here, but where is it? I saw it somewhere a while ago. But someone is asking about the software and about it being in French, and she is working on that, but of course this little issue that she's got is going to slow her down a little bit. So just be praying for her as the Lord gives her strength and the ability. She will move on through that, and we certainly appreciate the work that she has done. To me, it's a liberating work is what it is, and that's what I like to think that this is what this ministry is about, and the work that we do and the things that we put together here and the DVDs that we make and the books we publish and everything like that is that it liberates people. It gives them freedom from bondage, freedom from false doctrine, freedom to be able to search the scriptures on their own like the Bereans did, and then decide whether it was right or not. One of the issues that as I kind of think about things that have happened in the last few months, one of the things that I think that I am very, very serious about and will continue to be very serious about is the idea that I think it's time to take the things that we have been taught all our life in church and at least biblically. I don't want to seem like I'm wanting everybody to be revolutionary. Let's overturn the church and blah, blah. I mean, we'll leave that to Rob Bell and Brian McLaren and Rick Warren. But there's nothing wrong. There's nothing biblically wrong with being a Berean, being exactly like the Bereans. Here we have the apostles. And as far as the Bible's concerned, God put the office of apostle over the church, as overseers of the church, as the ones who were to give the doctrines of the church. God entrusted that to men like Paul, Peter, James, and so on. These men then wrote down what the Holy Ghost gave them, and those things are in our scriptures. And so the highest office in the church is that of the apostle. And when the apostles came and began to give their doctrine to the Bereans didn't just say, oh, well, if you say so, we'll just believe whatever you say because, you know, we don't want to question you. They did what they knew they had the freedom to do. They went to the scriptures and they went to the Old Testament primarily to search those things out to see whether they were true or not. And if you have good doctrine and you have good biblical doctrine, then that shouldn't trouble you. That shouldn't give you any problems if you have good doctrine and your doctrine can be based upon what people can read with their own eyes. And so I like the fact that I think we're putting things out there like this software that anybody can download, put on their Mac computer, their Linux, or their Windows desktop computer, download it, and then start looking through the scriptures, start typing in words and phrases and doing searches on your own of what the Bible says, rather than having it hand-fed to you while someone says, we're the experts, we're the doctors, we have these big books, you just believe what we tell you to believe, and if you question it, we'll disfellowship you because you don't go along, you're not joining our club. And so I think people ought to be free. I think people ought to feel like they're free enough, and if the Holy Ghost dwells in them, then the Bible said, John chapter 16, Jesus' own words said, He will lead you into all truth. In fact, let's start out there. And I've got a question coming up on something that somebody read and they had a question about. And it's a good topic, and we'll get into that shortly. But let's look at John chapter 16 very quickly. If you open your King James Bible here, and you can use the Pure Bible Search software, but hopefully you don't need software to find John 16. I mean, hopefully you don't. But if it's easier for you that way, that's fine. Some people put tabs on their Bible and some people don't. So anyway, let's see here. John chapter 16, the Bible says verse 7, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not in me, and of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, and by the way, you are holding in your hand the Spirit of truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. John said, these things have I written unto you. And so the word of, he said, these things which we have handled with our hands, we've seen it with our eyes, the Word of God. So we have the Spirit of truth. We have the Holy Spirit operating through the Scriptures. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. And there Jesus was talking about his departure and then his second coming. And it was going to be a little while after his first coming. Well, it's been 2 days so far, 2,000 years. I think his coming is very, very near. But there's something here that I think is relevant and is important. And it is in some ways challenging. You and I together constitute a group of people that because of the way that the denominations and the movements and the ministries are taking a left turn away from the Scriptures, you and I represent a group of people who have decided not to turn left with them, but to stay on the straight and narrow road. We're just going to stick with the Bible. And if the Bible says it, fine. If the Bible doesn't say it, then we're not going to believe it because the Bible doesn't say it. And in that sense, and I know that all of us who center around this book, we come from a diversity of denominational-based beliefs and ideas. And I'm not saying that any one of those denominational-based ideas are right or wrong. I'm not saying that. I'm not criticizing this group because they said this or this group because they said that. And one of the things that, to me, it's really troubling. It's really troubling to me, especially when we have people who say they follow the King James Bible and support and condone and endorse and promote the King James Bible. To me, it's troubling when we all of a sudden are not getting along with one another, or they're criticizing this or they're criticizing that or coming out against this or that, especially against those who believe like they do the King James Bible, the authorized Bible. is the Word of God. It is totally inerrant, and what it says sticks. What it says goes. I'm of the opinion that I think all of us who believe this Bible ought to try to find some way of getting along, whether we agree on every issue or not. Because as we come out of these various denominational backgrounds and philosophies and ideas and doctrinal statements and so along, I think it's healthy for us to go back and read the scriptures for ourselves like the Bereans and take the doctrines that we were taught maybe since we were children, but in the last whatever years you belong to such and such church, and then take those ideas and go back to the authorized Bible and find out whether or not those doctrines actually match up to the whole of the Word of God. I mean, let's just be honest with ourselves. This is something that we're asking everybody else to do. We're asking people, well, you just need to go to the Bible and find it in the Bible. You know, it's like the idea of slain in the spirit. We would look at those people who have had that background before and say, you know what, you need to just find out whether or not that's in the Bible or not. And that's what we tell people. Because we know that because we've studied the scriptures, we know that it's not in there. And we are hoping and praying that if people would just go and read the Bible and look for it and ask God, God, if it's in here, show it to me. If it's not, then get it out of my mind. We're hoping that that person will turn to the scriptures and say, you know what? It's not in there. And I just can't go along with that anymore. And so, again, I'm not trying to be a revolutionary. I'm not trying to say, we need to overturn the church. You know, do it for God. And I'm just saying we ought to be like what the Bereans did. They hear the apostles coming for them, no higher office on this earth than the office of apostle. And according to what Paul taught us, if the apostles say it, that's it. That's doctrine. And we got to believe it. But no one had a problem. Not even the apostles had a problem with the Bereans saying, you know what? We're going to take notes here. And then we're going to go to the scriptures and we're going to see whether or not it's true or not. And the interesting thing is that the things that they were being taught by the apostles, as far as New Testament doctrine, all of those things they were being taught, they were going back to the Old Testament to see whether it's true or not. Because if it's in the New Testament and it's true, then it's true also in the Old Testament. There is absolutely no doubt in my mind about it that that's exactly what they were doing. Paul repeatedly, in teaching and giving forth the doctrines of the New Testament church, repeatedly was quoting Old Testament scripture to show the validity of it, to show that this was God's idea all along. This is not just something where God said, you know what, that law thing's not working. I don't know what I'm going to, you know what, maybe we'll just scrap the whole thing and write something else different. Maybe it'll work this time. That's not what God did. God had it prepared all through, you can see it all through the Old Testament. You can see all the New Testament doctrines clearly in the Old Testament, whether by way of prophets or the poems, or the poetry of the book of Psalms, or the typology, the shadows and so on, or just the statements that were made in the Old Testament. And so be a Berean, download the software or whatever. Be a Berean, study the scriptures, study words, phrases throughout the Bible. We're starting a series. We started it last night on Wednesday night, dealing with the chastening of the Son, the doctrine of the chastening of the Son. And it is very, very important. It's very relevant because I think is one of the key ideas behind whether or not a person is really, truly born again, or they're just one of these people that have received, just like the seed in Mark chapter 4, they have received it, but it's not going to stick. It's not going to stick with them. There's no way in the world. And hence, since they don't produce fruit, they don't go to heaven. And the Bible's very clear on that. So while I'm teaching these things, I gave an encouragement last night. I actually gave homework. I want people to study the idea of the sons of God. You can do it in the Old Testament. You can also do it in the New Testament. Study the idea of what it is to be a son of God, a child of God, an offspring of God. Study those things out in the scripture, and then we'll meet together next Wednesday, and we'll just compare notes and see what the Word of God has to say. And so I want them to be free. I want people to be free and not just take what's been handed to them as far as doctrinal statements. And you have to believe this. And if you don't believe this, you're probably not saved like we are, or you're a lesser species or whatever it is. Just be free and study the scriptures. Now, you know what? Let me just run through some news stories very quickly, and we'll get to some of your comments and questions about it, because I'm already just blabbing my mouth off. Here was a second grader suspended for making gun noises with a pencil after pretending to be a Marine like his dad. In the latest case of a youth being punished for what used to be considered innocuous child's play, a second grader at Driver Elementary in Virginia had been suspended for 2 days for making gun noises while pointing a pencil. The boy's father explained, when I asked him about it, he said, well, I was being a Marine and the other guy was being a bad guy. It's as simple as that. Paul Marshall, the father of the suspended 7-year-old Christopher Marshall, is former Marine. A spokesperson for Suffolk Public Schools, Beth Ann Bradshaw, explained, a pencil is a weapon when it is pointed at someone in a threatening way and gun noises are made. That is the most stupid. That is, who are you, Beth Ann? Beth Ann, that is the most dumb, stupid, idiotic, lame brain excuse that I've ever heard in my life. That is absolutely ridiculous. To make children think that a pencil that is held in the fashion of a gun is just as deadly as a pistol, a real pistol, loaded pistol in the hands of somebody. It's absolutely ludicrous. We are losing this country to insanity is what we're doing. Some children would consider it threatening, who are scared about shootings in schools or should, you know who's making them scared? It's the teachers. That's who's fostering the fear. I'm quite sure that when this kid had this pencil making noises, that the playground did not clear, everybody ducking behind trees and running behind buildings, scared to death that the pencil might go off, and this kid said, nobody did that. Absolutely insane. Matthew, my son, was telling me he had heard, I don't know exactly where it was, what it was, how true it is. Sometimes school stories get spread around, they're not true, but he said he had heard that a young teenager, well, middle-aged teenager, he was driving, he had been out hunting, and then he drove to school with his rifle in his pickup truck. He forgot to take it in, forgot to do all those things, and it dawned on him when he got to school that he had this gun in his truck. So he called his mom from the school phone and said, I need you to come get this thing out of my truck before I get in trouble. Well, somebody eavesdropped on the conversation, called the police, SWAT teams coming down on ropes from the side of the building, surrounding the place, taking him off in handcuffs for this thing. It's absolutely, I cannot fathom the stupidity that we're getting into in this country. It's because they have no word. They have no Bible. They have no authority over them. That's the basis of it. People are being destroyed for lack of knowledge. Children are being taught that pencils are dangerous. If you make a gun noise with it, people will die. Children will scream in horror. Insane. Appreciate sending me that article. This is Joe Biden. Joe Biden wants pastors, rabbis, nuns. There's got to be a joke in that. A pastor, a rabbi, and a nun were, never mind, to tell their flocks enacting more gun control is the moral thing to do. VP Joe Biden has a commandment for pastors, rabbis, and nuns. He wants them to tell their flocks that enacting gun control is the moral thing to do, but another vote may have to wait until Congress wraps up work on an immigration overhaul. Have you seen the headlines and read the articles about the immigration bill that's before Congress right now? Something like $9 trillion in benefits going to illegal people in this country. $9 trillion in tax money going to them. Biden met for 2.5 hours Monday with more than a dozen leaders from various faith communities, Christian, Jewish, Muslim, Sikh, and to name a few. Both Biden and faith leaders encouraged each other not to give up on what has been an arduous and thus far fruitless effort by Biden and President Barack to pass new gun laws in the wake of December schoolhouse shooting in Connecticut. VP Joe Biden speaks during the ceremony, blah, blah, blah. So they're asking all the pastors to help out. That's kind of like the FEMA guidelines that were saying try to recruit preachers to tell everybody when the government truck comes by, jump in it. And I've had people accuse me of believing that kind of garbage because I preached a sermon. I actually had the audacity, the unmitigated gall, to preach a sermon on Romans 13, and I told people, you know what, you ought to just believe the Bible. I absolutely wholeheartedly believe and stand by the idea that God gives governments, earthly governments, to men. But for some reason, in today's conspiracy theorist, right-wing, anarchist ideology, that the only way to be a real true Christian is to be rebellious against all forms of earthly government because they're run by lost people. This is not what is taught in the scriptures. It's not what that means. If a police officer in a cruiser pulls you over with lights and sirens, you pull over. He has the authority to do that. It's not now, if he asks you to get out of the car and if you have done nothing wrong, and then he issues you a citation, or he gives you, he arrests you, or he in some way somehow does something that is outside of the parameters of what he's supposed to do, then you have a recourse to follow. You have ways of going against that authority. Because he can't operate on you. He cannot enforce anything on you that is not written law in this country. It's illegal. It's against the law. And we have measures so far in place to protect us against that. I do absolutely 100% believe that when any earthly governmental agency, be it a federal government, a king, a communist dictator, or a local sheriff, or one of his deputies, if they command or demand that you do something that causes you to break one of God's laws, then you have every right in the world to rebel against that. But in that, and what I was saying about the police officer was, if he pulls you over, he has a right to do that. And it's not because he's a better person than you are. It's not because he reads his Bible three times a day and you only read it two. It's not because he's a very moral, upright citizen. It's not because of that. He could be a crooked, dirty cop. But if he pulls you over and he's going to write you a ticket because you were doing 75 in a 55 or 65 in a school zone, then he has every right to issue that ticket, and you are commanded by the law and the government to pay that ticket because you broke the law. He is acting upon the written laws, which are the basis of our society. But in the case where a government agent is trying to force you to break something that you know to be God's law, you rebel. You say, you know what? Not doing it. And I would include in that the idea of giving up our guns, giving up our weapons. They're not getting them. I'm not turning them in. I'm not handing them over. It's as simple as that. I feel that according to Scripture, that violates God's commandments to us and God's ideas to us. And the same thing about jumping in the FEMA truck when they declare martial law. I'm not going to tell my people, now, get in the truck because these are God's agents trying to help us. I'm not going to do that. It's absolutely ridiculous. And it was over the fact that I preached on Romans 13 exactly the way the Bible lays it out. And I have people accusing me of that. This Benghazi thing is really getting me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. I don't really do anything when I get mad. I just get mad. And then my wife tells me, well, you can get glad in the same pants you got mad in, buddy. Benghazi whistleblower, I was demoted after questioning Susan Rice's talking points. Gregory Hicks, foreign service officer and former deputy chief of mission in Libya, and Eric Nordstrom, diplomatic security officer and former State Department regional security officer in Libya. Listen, during a former top U.S. diplomat in Libya said he was effectively demoted after questioning United Nations Ambassador Susan Rice's explanation that the deadly Benghazi attack was the result of a protest over a video. Gregory Hicks, the former deputy chief of mission under slain Ambassador Christopher Stevens, now holds the title of foreign affairs officer in the Office of Global Intergovernmental Affairs, an almost catch-all designation. He said, I've been effectively demoted from deputy chief of mission. He testified to members of the House Oversight Committee on Wednesday that he was stunned and embarrassed upon hearing Rice blame an anti-Islam YouTube video for the assault. He said he voiced his concerns and upon returning to the U.S. received a blistering critique of his management style after having recently been praised by Barack Hussein and Hillary Clinton. He said, in hindsight, I think it began after I asked a question about Ambassador Rice's statement on the TV shows, he said. And being asked what the seminal moment was, had been in all his new professional criticism. And I think it, and I will tell you what, if it comes out that Barack Hussein and Hillary, and let's remember Hillary for a minute. Let's remember Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton, this is the same Hillary Clinton who goes into Vince Foster's office after hearing that he had been suicided in that park outside of Washington, D.C., she's the one who goes into his office retrieving documents. And then a White House staffer noted that there was stacks and stacks of documents in a table in the part of the White House that is for the first family to reside in, and they were in the process of being shredded. This is the same Hillary Clinton who shreds documents in the Whitewater case. She was hired by the Rose Law Firm to work as an attorney there. And all that scandal and all that scam, you remember the MENA airport and the Whitewater real estate scam and everything that goes along with it. She spent a lot of her time in the Rose Law Firm shredding documents so that nobody would find out. Very close friends of hers, like Vince Foster and people like that, all of a sudden now end up floating around in a river somewhere or dead somewhere, rather than the truth coming out. Who was it? One of the department heads under the Clintons got shipped over to on a trip to Bosnia, and all of a sudden his plane crashes. How convenient is that? That's the first time I ever heard of an ice bullet. There was a theory running around that he had a small hole in his head, but nobody could find a bullet. And that's when you first start hearing about an ice bullet. It just melts and it's gone away. Several of you have sent me this. I appreciate that. On May Day, they're dancing in Portland, probably smoking some Washington State weed. On May Day, they're celebrating in the streets of Portland around a golden calf. Is that newsworthy? Well, I'll tell you this, it really should be expected. In the world that we live in right now, it should be expected that this is what is going on and that's what our country is turning into. Today, at some point, you know, I was going to check the Drudge Report for this before I signed on today. At some point, some families of Navy SEAL Team 6 were going to hold a press conference. And let's see, I don't see anything immediately that jumps out at me. But they're going to hold a press conference today. And they're going to talk about, it says, three families of Navy SEAL Team 6 Special Forces servicemen, along with one family of an Army National Guardsman, will appear at a press conference on May 9th to disclose never-before-revealed information about how and why their sons, along with 26 others, died in a fatal helicopter crash in Afghanistan August 6th, just a few months after the successful raid in the compound of Osama bin Laden that resulted in the master terrorist's death, allegedly. Accompanying the families of these dead Navy SEAL Team 6 Special Operations servicemen will be retired military experts verifying their accounts of how and why the government is as much responsible for the deaths of their sons as is the Taliban. And they list about seven things that they're going to be talking about, and there's a lot of talk on the blogosphere about this. And, you know, I am one of these. I try to approach these ideas with caution, with a little bit of skepticism and so on. I'm not just going to jump on every, I don't just jump on every article that shows up on Before It's News. But I do, here's something that is always in my mind. Why is Andrew Breitbart dead? And if you remember, Andrew Breitbart had something that he was going to disclose, he was going to reveal before the election, before the re-election, that supposedly was going to shatter the earth, and it was going to shatter the presidency of Barack Hussein, and he was going to reveal it on such and such date, and all of a sudden he drops dead of natural causes. And then the coroner who performed the autopsy dies of poisoning. What's up? It makes you question. And then we have Barack Hussein coming out May 1st, announcing the death of Osama bin Laden, or if you believe some of the conspiracy theories, the second death of Osama bin Laden. I don't know. You don't know. We weren't there. That's the problem. We weren't there. We don't know the truth. Just because the government says one way, that doesn't mean it's true. And I'll say just because a conspiracy website says another thing, that doesn't make it true either. This is why I tell people, be Bereans. Be Bereans. Go search. Go search. Go search the internet. Go search the scriptures for answers to this. But then this same Navy SEAL, and you know, then they've got the body of Osama on a naval ship, supposedly, and rather than bringing the body back to American soil so it could be examined, verified, documented, this is Osama bin Laden, they take the body, dump it overboard. Why? Why do that? Then to top it all off, you have members of this Navy SEAL Team 6 dying, going away. It's almost like we're reliving JFK all over again. All of a sudden, people with evidence, all of a sudden, people with who might know something about it, all of a sudden, they're suicided somewhere, they're dead. Lee Harvey Oswald, dead. Why? Why are all these people dead or dying? It makes you, this kind of stuff right here is the reason why there are kooks on the internet who hate our government. And I believe that there are some people out there that are totally insane. You read some of the stuff that they put out there, the conspiracy theories and stuff like that, and you're just going, where in the world did you get this from? But then there are people who are looking at things like this, and they ask legitimate questions. What's going on here? Why are all these people dead? The guy in Libya, Benghazi, how come our ambassador is dead? How come some people, high-ranking officials, got demoted or stripped of power because they questioned the president on whether or not we should go in there and try to save this guy's hide or not? What is happening? What's going on? And it makes us legitimately say within ourselves, we're not being told the truth. We are being lied to. We don't appreciate being lied to by the commander in chief of the armed forces of the United States. We don't appreciate being lied to. We don't trust you. So you're going to take our boys, send them off somewhere. They're going to come back in body bags and flag-draped coffins, and you want us to trust you because we think you're a liar. We think you've lied your way through your whole presidency, and now we think you're lying to us, and we're not about to send our boys. And I just the fact of the the disillusionment in our own military, guys who are signing up, men and women signing up to defend our country, and then they got a commander in chief that lies to everybody, and they don't trust him. All of this creates a scenario in our country that Christ warned us about. And I'll tell you what that. Let me find a story here that goes along with that. Something that somebody sent to me. Today is your day, remember, by the way. Somebody sent me this. Arizona Governor Jan Brewer signs bill to establish state volunteer militia separate from the National Guard. For those who get a little freaked out by state militias, check this out. Towards the end of April 2011, Jan Brewer quietly signed into a law, a bill that would allow the for the establishment of a volunteer state militia, which would be separate from the National Guard. You know who this is, don't you? This is Bubba. This is Bubba's army. This is not going to be, and the Constitution allows for an armed militia of citizens, a citizen's militia. But the government has sort of taken that over, and we call it the National Guard or whatever. Missouri has a National Guard. Illinois has a National Guard. Arizona has a National Guard, and so on. But now the governor of Arizona is saying, I'm going to sign a bill, and it's going to let Bubba's guys, just fellas, guys who carry guns in the back of their pickup truck, guys who run cattle, guys who deer hunt, guys who fish, guys who love the country. We're going to form a different, separate militia out of just folks in the state of Arizona that Barack Hussein won't have any control over. And I like that idea. The problem is, we look at what's going on in Arizona, Montana, Wyoming, countries like that, their states. Kansas just signing a bill saying no new gun regulations allowed in the state of Kansas. And if you're one of your agents comes in here and tries to enforce a gun law, we're going to have him arrested and he's going to go to prison. Missouri has the same bill before its representatives right now. I hope it goes through. I think it will. Be interesting to see if our governor, who claims to be a pro-gun Democrat, will follow the will of the people. You know what the motto of the state of Missouri is? No, it's not show me. The motto of the state of Missouri is Salus Populi Suprema Lex Esto, Shambhala Toya, Tito. Salus Populi Suprema Lex Esto, which means let the will of the people be the supreme law. So it will the governor, Jay Nixon, a Democrat, a pro-union, whatever, Democrat, will he follow the will of the people and the way he presented himself as a pro-gun Democrat, will he follow the will of the people of the state of Missouri, or will he follow Barack Hussein and will he veto the bill? If he vetoes the bill, it will go back, and more than likely that veto will be overridden because the state of Missouri has a supermajority of Republicans. And all of that basically sets up a scenario in our United States where we are not as united as we were 30 years ago. We're not the same country anymore. And in the words of our Savior, Abraham Lincoln talked about this as well. A house divided against itself, a kingdom divided against itself, will not stand. Days we're living in. This was also sent in. U.S. engineers developed smart RFID-enabled paper. U.S. engineers have developed a way to embed radio frequency identification chips onto paper that they say is quicker, cheaper, and offers wider applications than current methods. The technique can be used to prevent fraud as well as provide a new meaning to the term paper trail. The process uses lasers to transfer and assemble the chips on paper. Such smart paper could be used for banknotes, legal documents, tickets, and smart labels. The team said, I wonder what the practical purpose of putting an RFID chip on toilet paper would be. To track the toilet paper. And then, let me read this one here. Kanye West declares himself a god in a new song. What's new? Kanye West debuted his new song, presumably titled I Am a God, on Monday, May 6th, at the Met Museum of Art Gala. While he piqued fans' interest with the song's lyrics, the devil is in the details. Little is known about I Am a God just yet. While clips of the performance service on the internet during the gala, much of Kanye's performance was recorded through the Twitter mobile app Vine, which allows users to record 6 seconds of video. So what's new about Kanye West declaring himself to be a god? But it does follow the signs of the times, and it follows the idea that Lucifer knows music, knows it very well. Here's also an item of interest that I'm bringing up simply because I like to, well, let me just read this. And this is posted on several sites. And I don't know the source of it yet, but I have an idea. If you have received an email and if you've seen this article, Message from God Found Hidden Inside DNA Sequence, have you seen that? Have you heard of that? Researchers at Harvard University announced today that they have found what appears to be a message from God written inside the human genome. Yeah. In a little explored section of non-coding DNA, a team of top geneticists discovered a 22-word snippet of ancient Aramaic, in which God confirms his existence and his role in creating life on Earth. Yep. The stunning finding represents nearly irrefutable evidence of God's existence and his role in creating the process of evolution by natural selection. Yeah. The message was discovered when research noticed strange mathematical patterns appearing within a certain section of the genome. Here's what they found. Hello, my children. This is Yahweh, the one true Lord. You have found creation's secret. Now share it peacefully with the world. Yeah. This is a hoax, people. This is a hoax. This is satire. I fell for something like this one time several years ago. I am a lot more skeptical now. And really, some people have the idea that if it's on the internet, then it's true. Because you can't, they don't put anything on the internet that ain't true. This is a satire. This is a hoax. It's not real. Researchers at Harvard University did not find this Aramaic message in some dude's DNA saying, "Hello, my children, this is Yahweh." Are you kidding me? David Bradley and his wife, Anna, and their three daughters and their son are safely back, relatively. Back in on American soil, they've been throwing tracks all over the place. Praise the Lord for that. Pray. Now that they've done that, now that they've planted the seed, pray that every track that they put out, everywhere they went, that it would bear the seed, that it would produce the fruit that these laborers went out trying to do. They that soweth in tears shall reap in joy. And I know that's an absolute from the Bible. So I would say to David and Anna and to your wonderful family, they'll be with us Sunday. I would say to them, you may never know what effect you had, but I have an absolute guarantee, and you do too, from the pages of the scriptures, that your labor was not in vain, that there will be a reaping in joy, and those tracts that you handed out, somebody's going to get saved from it. That's what I know. I know that from scriptures. I don't have to be there. I don't have to go to Germany or Rome or any place that you guys went. I know that for a fact, and I want you guys to be aware of that too. He sent me some interesting pictures of a church, quote unquote, in Germany, Deutschland. Let's see. He said this area is called Marienplatz. There are three churches here. I think they are Roman Catholic. Here's some of the pictures he took. I can't really do zoom-ins on it, but you see the all-seeing eye up there at the top, emblazoned in glory. You see the goddess Mystery Babylon the Great holding her son Tammuz. She's the queen. He's the little boy king. You see the triple crown underneath her feet. It's just interesting that here's another one up on top of a giant obelisk, a tower. Here's the queen of heaven that they offer sacrifices to in the Roman system. She's the queen. She's holding her little baby king. and he does whatever she tells him to do. And that's Catholic doctrine, by the way. That's Catholic doctrine. Catholic doctrine says that since we can't really pray to Jesus and make him happy because he's mad at us because we're sinners, we can go to his mom and say, "Oh, dear Holy Mother of God, will you talk to your son and have him forgive my sins for me, please?" "Why, yes, my son. Pray the rosary 30,000 times and say Hail Marys and eat sacrifices to gods and stuff like that. And then I'll talk to Jesus for you. I'll calm him down because he wants to send you to hell. But I'm his mother and he'll listen to me." That's Catholic doctrine. Here's another one. And this one's interesting to me because it has the initials. I'll have to get a close up here. Hang on here. I can't see that one. It looks like the initials M-A on there, and what you see is it's an embedded, it's a square and compass is what it is. And again, another picture of the goddess holding her little bambino, and she is telling him how she wants him to forgive everybody's sins and quit being mean to them, or she's going to slap him around. And you probably won't be able to see it there, but she's got her foot on a crescent moon. What is that all about? The Catholics believe in Revelation 12 that Mary is the one who is clothed with the sun and has the moon under her feet and so on. They believe that's the Virgin Mary. And a crown of 12 stars. If you ever see the European Union logo, it's a circle or a crown of 12 stars. Doesn't take too much then to understand that the European Union basically is backed by the Vatican. And the powers that are behind it are Mystery Babylon the Great, the Mother of Harlots, and Abominations of the Earth. Oh, wow. We're going to get to your emails right now. Here we go. Let's see here. That's about Benghazi and Watergate, and we've already talked about that. Let's see here. There was something else here. Let's see here. Cassie writes in and says, in response to your Prove All Things broadcast, Jeff Bauman, who lost both of his legs at the Boston Marathon bombing, is an employee at the Costco in Nashua, New Hampshire, that my family and I belong to. That is, unless all the employees there involved in the cover-up conspiracy were all victims of mass mind control made to believe this Jeff Bauman is a co-worker of theirs. Please note the sarcasm. And then Cassie is asking about the French version of the KJV Pure Bible Search. She said, some of my church members read TR French Bibles, and I know they would love this. And so, yes, that is one of the things being worked on, Cassie. So we appreciate that. Let's see here. Who sent this? Don't see a name. The email is Pritchard, W-E-S, sends this. And it's based upon Luke chapter 7, verse 30. So everybody get your Bibles out. Luke chapter 7, verse 30. In verse 30, the Bible says, but the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. And the Lord said, whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? And what are they like? They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, we have piped unto you and you have not danced. We have mourned to you and you have not wept. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread or drinking wine. And you say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man is come eating and drinking. And you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber and a friend of publicans and sinners. And then the verse is, but verse 35, but wisdom is justified of all her children. And the question is this verse 35 referring to Mystery Babylon? If not, who is her children referring to? This is Luke chapter 7, verse 35. It's a great question. Somebody else asked me that on Facebook, something similar or related to it. Verse 35 again, wisdom is justified of all her children. This is a reference. Take your Bibles. Go to the book of, Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 7, 8, and 9 is kind of where we'll be. But listen to this. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 4 says, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister. and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. So we see wisdom here, actually not Mystery Babylon, being the opposite of Mystery Babylon. And remember what we learn about typology and the language of typology. If it's a man in the Bible, it's either a picture of Christ or Antichrist. You have David, he's the shepherd, he's a picture of Christ. You have Absalom, his son, he's trying to steal his throne. That's a picture of Antichrist. In fact, he has long hair and things like that. And so, but when you have a woman is, and this is where some people, they get false doctrine. There are some people who are saying the Holy Ghost then is a woman, is a she-male or a female or whatever. This is not true. Jesus specifically called the Holy Spirit a he. So a he in one place in the Bible cannot be a she in another. So wisdom here is not the Holy Ghost. However, the Holy Ghost gave a gift to who? A gift of wisdom. Who did the Holy Ghost give wisdom to? The church. So when you have a woman in the scriptures, you have a picture of either Jerusalem, the church, the bride, and so on, or you have a picture of Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. And so right here in Proverbs 7, verse 4, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman. In other words, and here's this, and I like this. I like the way the Bible puts this out, and you have to really think and get discernment on this. But the idea here is, if you look in chapter 8, verse 1, doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom. Ye fools, be ye of all... be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. In other words, and then you have, where is it, in chapter 9, wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. Those seven pillars would be related to the seven spirits of God. But wisdom is building a house, and she's called a her. Who is she then? I believe that she is the church. I believe that she represents the bride who has been given the gift of wisdom. You look in, and the gift of wisdom here in chapter 7 is crying out to people saying, don't go following after Babylon. Don't go to the Catholic Church. Don't go to this church over here. They're not telling you the truth and so on. And then, and you look in chapter 8, wisdom is out there street preaching. She's out there crying out to the world. Why don't you come and get the wisdom of the Word of God? Why don't you listen to me so that you don't follow the strange woman into hell? That is the evangelistic work of the church. And then in chapter 9, she's building a house with seven pillars. Wisdom will tell you that if you'll build the house upon the Lord Jesus Christ and build it with seven pillars, which are the seven spirits of God, then it will last. It will thrive. Its foundation will be stable. And so this is, and this idea of wisdom being a sister, I think that that is another way of talking about the bride of Christ. Remember, and we don't really like, I mean, we think this is odd now, but Abraham married his sister. And that's, I think it's a picture of Christ in the church. We know that Sarah, according to the book of Galatians, is a type, Galatians chapter 4, Sarah herself is a type of, guess who? New Jerusalem, which is free, which is the mother of us all. So it's the wisdom of heaven in the church, not the foolishness of the harlot woman, the bride. Outstanding question, and I appreciate you bringing that up, because other people probably have asked the same question as well. And I hope that helped clears it up for you. Pam, how you doing, Pam? Hi, Pastor Mike. Another big question. Lordship salvation. Well, if not for today's show, then another day. If you remember, we started going to a church where most the leaders are either from or have been trained in John MacArthur's church. I really respect your opinion, so I would love to hear what you think. Thanks for all you do, Pam. Pam, I'll be honest. I don't know exactly what constitutes the doctrine of lordship salvation. I have not studied that. I've not heard that. If you're asking me, let me just quote some scripture ever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10 tells us, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I don't know if that has any application to it. There, I've heard some people say, that lordship salvation, you're going to go to hell for that. And then some people again, so I don't think I'm qualified to tell people what exactly constitutes this idea of lordship salvation. I will say that it looks to me like another one of man's terminologies, because I don't see the phrase in the King James Bible, lordship salvation. You must be saved by the lordship. I don't see that in there. And what has happened, in too many places, this is why I tell everybody, be Bereans, go search the scripture. Don't go to sit in some seminar and let some guy tell you what to think. Get your thinking from the Bible. If lordship salvation turns out to be terminology and doctrinal ideas that are man's device and man's words, you're not required to believe it. I don't know what it is. It may be right, it may be wrong. But rather than telling you must believe in lordship salvation, or someone telling you must not, why don't you just say, you know what? I have an authorized Bible. It says to me that every word in it is pure and true, and its doctrines are right, and they come down to me like rain. And you know what? I don't know that I feel comfortable joining your little club or being under your hut of doctrine. I think I'll just say, you know what? I believe every word in the Bible. I believe every doctrine in the Bible. I may not understand it all, but I believe it. I believe in the Godhead. I don't understand the whole thing about God, Father, the Word, and Holy Ghost, but I just believe it because that's what my Bible tells me to believe. And it would be that simple. All right? Brother Mike, have learned a great deal from your latest series on another gospel. You blew me away with the stuff on the Shekinah. Now, he did not use some nasty word. It's just the word that's I don't want to use, all right? Anyway, you blew me away with the information on the Shekinah. Great teaching, Brother Bob Reed. I appreciate that, Brother Bob. Joe, Pastor Mike, when a sodomite says he was born that way, how do I answer that? Is there such a thing as the fivefold ministry of the church? Well, that's two questions. Number one, a sodomite. Let me just say this, Joe. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are sinners by birth. We are under the curse of Adam. As by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. One man sinned, so now that all have sinned. So this statement, the idea that we are born into sin, is true of everybody. When a sodomite will tell you, I was born that way, what they're wanting to convince you is that they base this bogus science idea that they found the gene that turns people into homosexuals. Some guy, I have a genetic thing in me that says I love to kiss men on the mouth. And I have to do that. I can't change it. I can't alter it. Well, you also have a genetic code that says you're a rotten, filthy, hell-deserving, low-life sinner. But Christ can change you. So it's more or less an excuse from a sodomite saying, this is my programming. I must follow what my DNA tells me to do. And it's just an excuse to go out and kiss men on the mouth. That's what it is. But technically, they are born under sin. God has a remedy for that. It's called killing the flesh and believing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says, is there such a thing as the fivefold ministry of the church? Yes. He gave some apostles. He gave some prophets. The apostles have all died off, and they have left the foundation, which is the Word of God and their teaching and the Word of God, to us. But there are people now who are telling everybody, oh, we operate in the fivefold ministry, which basically means, hey, I want to be an apostle. Can I be one? Well, sure, you can be an apostle. I'm Apostle Billy. I'm Apostle Billy, and God has given me things. I have to tell everybody what God said to me, and not everything God does is in the Bible, so I get to be an apostle now. And I'm going to tell you what to believe. Don't fall for that. I don't go for that at all. The fivefold ministry exists. The thing is, though, the apostles and things like that, those men, there's no such thing as apostolic succession. There are not more apostles right now. And the doctrines of the apostles are the foundation of the church. Anybody coming along saying fivefold ministry, I'm an apostle, they are a wolf in sheep's clothing. They're a liar. They're not going to tell the truth. They're going to give false doctrine. Matt says, God bless Pastor Mike Hoggard and all the congregation of Bethel Church. Matt, I'll pass that on to everybody. Appreciate it. Rob tells me that Shekinah is in the Jewish Orthodox Bible. I'd like to see that. I would really like to see that, because I know for a fact that it's not in their Hebrew. I know for a fact it's not. So if you can get me a scan of that or something like that, I'd appreciate that. Matt, Pastor Mike, I really enjoyed the singing this Wednesday. I hum along as I don't know the words and really find that the music helps me out of my depressions. Isn't that neat? And I'll tell you this. And he says, I look forward to your webcast, attend all of your weekly meetings. When Solomon had an evil spirit, he called for David to play his music and to sing his words, and that evil spirit departed. And I absolutely believe, and I don't know that I have all the answers to it, but I absolutely believe, and I am a strong, strong practitioner in the idea that if I want the devil to leave me alone, I've got some music here on my iPad and my phone and on my computer and everything else that I know to be decent, godly, spiritual, and you know, I've been playing Handel's Messiah. That's King James Bible music is what it is. And I have also said, too, that when you feel like that you are under oppression, go to the Psalms. Those are the songs that David sung to get rid of those devils. The power would then be in the lyrics, but I think also the music. And some people don't really know this. I mean, I studied music, and so I learned a little bit about the technicalities of music. Music has basic elements. It has harmony. Melody. Melody must be the preeminent part of any music. According to the scriptures, we're told to sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. Harmony and rhythm accentuate the melody. In other words, they are there as helps to the melody. But when rhythm or anything like that, or harmony for that matter, when rhythm is overblown, or you have a song that is nothing but rhythm, which is primarily what rap is, to me that's out of order. It's not part of the order that God set that in. But music also has what's called tone color. And we kind of know this. You probably never heard that phrase before, tone color, but music has a color to it. We refer to songs either as bright or dark. And we may not be able to define what that is, but when we hear it, we know it's either bright or dark. Ask yourself the question, Marilyn Manson, bright or dark? See how simple that is? Okay. I might do this here. See if I have it on the playlist here. Southern Raised Bluegrass. Take a listen to this. See, you just listen to that, and you listen. You don't listen to that and go, I'm depressed, I'm going to cut myself. You turn that on, and all of a sudden, you're just going. And see, it's okay to snap your fingers. It's all right. That's rhythm. That's good music. You cannot form a grunge Marilyn Manson band and have a banjo in it. You just can't do it. So while I may not be able to define every aspect of every song out in the world as being evil or good, When you listen to it, your heart just knows this stuff, all right? So anyway, I appreciate that. Rob, again, Shekinah, it says Shekinah refers to a cloud. And Moshe was not able to enter into the something or the other because the Shekinah cloud abode thereon, and the Kavod Hashem filled the Mishkan. Rob, it's wrong. It's wrong. I don't care if the Jews stuck it in their English translation of the Bible, which is not, most of this stuff's not English. They stuck it in there. That doesn't make it right because it's not in the word that God delivered to Moses or the prophets. That's not there. Doesn't exist. Let's see here. Barbara, I recently tuned in your teachings on YouTube by a friend. I cannot begin to tell you how much I enjoy and am learning from you. I've been aware of the New World Order, the Illuminati, and all the other conspiracies for quite some time. It is refreshing to hear how the Bible correlates with all these conspiracies. Thank you. I have a question for you. As a Bible reading, believing Christian, can I consider cremation when I die? And some people are going to be mad at me, but I can only answer according to the Word of God. I do not see any place in the Bible that condemns cremation per se. And I will, let me just read a verse here to you. Okay. That's all I got to do. I've done this with somebody and, I lost it. Here it is. Let me just read one verse. Okay. This is what Abraham said in Genesis 18:27. Abraham answered and said, "Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes." So just take that one, all right? And again, and there are people who might disagree with that, that's your conscience, understand that. If you have a disagreement, if you want to accuse me of worshiping paganism, just send me scripture, okay? Just be a Berean and look the scripture up and see if you can find where God tells us not to be cremated. So what I would ask you to do, all right? Let's see here. James. Hi, Pastor Mike. I was reading Proverbs. Let me take a swig here. Thank you. Pastor Mike, I was reading Proverbs 9 today, and I wanted to hear your view on this matter concerning the wisdom and knowledge found. Boy, God knows what to do, doesn't he? I think I've already addressed that, and I appreciate that. I'll continue reading the email. That is found in Isaiah 11. According to Solomon, wisdom and knowledge are referred to in the feminine context. In Isaiah 11:2, they are two of the sevenfold spirit, which are part of the Holy Spirit that shall rest upon Jesus. Remember, these gifts are given to mankind from the Holy Spirit, and a spirit of wisdom and a spirit of knowledge. But again, I believe, according to the preponderance of Scripture, that a woman always represents a city or a church. New Jerusalem, Sarah, the church, Mystery Babylon. New Jerusalem is the mother of saved people. We are born again by New Jerusalem. Mystery Babylon is the mother of harlot. She's the strange woman. Wisdom is the pure woman, the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. I fully understand and agree the Holy Spirit of God is masculine in context, but does the nature of the Holy Spirit, comforter, mentioned by Jesus, have anything to do with feminine attributes? I ask only because as a youth I received more comfort from my mom rather than my dad. Understandable. However, I'm in total agreement with you concerning the harlot Mystery Babylon being in the church today, that spirit of Jezebel from the church in Thyatira. I'm fully aware that her spirit is running rampant throughout the world and also in the church today. Keep up the good work, and so on. So James from Oahu. I hope I answered your question for you, all right? Let's see here. Oh, that's a deadhead. This is from Ramondon. Hello, Pastor Mike. Please take a quick look at the tattoo attached to this email. A friend of mine recently received this. I'm not sure what the Bible says about tattoos. I did find a verse in the Bible, but I'm not sure. And this verse is right, Leviticus 19:28. You should not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. Nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. Is this verse talking about tattoos? Yes, it is. The tattoo that he sent me, and I don't have really the time to include this in what you see here, but you know what? Let me print this out. That would be the quickest way to do it. This tattoo is, it's a version of the Grateful Dead logo, what they call the Deadhead, which is a skull with a lightning bolt going through it. Okay, the Grateful Dead. And then Jerry Garcia was a dope addict, Satan worshiper, died of a drug overdose. It didn't print it. Anyway, the skull is divided by the lightning. You have a moon on one side and a sun on the other. And you have two fish circling around it. That's like yin and yang is what it is. So that's what that means. And no, don't go get tattoos on yourself. Rose, sir, what is your take on rapture, no rapture? Rose, I did four videos called The Translation. It's going to happen. It's going to happen according to the Word of God. Exactly how God says it's going to happen. And then Rose is asking me, are you pro-drug war? The drug war terrorizes citizens. Anyone that is for the drug war is participating in evil. It's hypocrisy because no one is on a crusade to make it illegal. The drug war is based on racism. We were concerned with some of the racist statements you have made lately. Rose, I've not made any racist statements. I've made none. I am not a racist. I don't think in racist terms. I don't call people racial epithets. I don't do that. And so, I don't know, I made a comment about, and I explained myself on Tuesday, and you're asking me if I'm pro-drug war. If by that you mean I am for the government kicking everybody's doors down under the suspicion that they might have something illegal, absolutely not. But I am against drugs of any kind, illegal or I don't want to say I'm against prescription drugs because I'm not, but if they are abused, absolutely. I'm against alcohol and the use of alcohol as a whatever, but there are biblical uses for that. But why don't you and everybody else quit calling me a racist and saying that I'm making racist statements? Because it's not true. I don't. Haven't. Will not. All right. What happened to my emails? Here we go. Moving right along. Jenny! That is a long email, Jenny. Elderly Christian florist faces thousands of fines for refusing to provide flowers for gay wedding. And she sends me an article from LifeSite News. Appreciate that. I'm going to look at that later. All right, Lisa. I looked up Planned Parenthood and found a superhero video they released. The superhero video is called Dionysus. Could this be the spirit behind abortion? Oh, you betcha. Yeah, you betcha. Someone commented under the video that Dionysus was torn limb from limb by his mother. That is one that was an abortion doctor evacuates the child from the mother's womb. Not a happy subject, but the truth needs to be exposed. As a side note, the video featured an intolerant Christian. This video, of course, was for children. This was from Planned Parenthood. That's crazy. I want to look at that. I really do. If someone can find a link to that and send it to me, I would appreciate it. Let's see here. Suzanne, will you give a shout-out to my friend Lori? No. She might be listening. You've spoken to her a few times. She's in the hospital right now. We're hoping she is released this afternoon. Amen. Pray for Lori, all right? Rob from the Amazon. Let's see here. Shekinah, back translated from the Orthodox Jewish to the KJV is the cloud as below. It's not. No, it's not. Shekinah is not in the Hebrew Old Testament. Shekinah is masculine. Shekinah, feminine, is not. It's not there. Bill, Pastor Mike, keep up the great message of the Word of God. Praying for you in your church. It's great to be free in Christ. Go Joshua and Caleb. Amen. Amen. I appreciate that. Mike, Pastor Mike, why is it you will only bring up the same preachers over and over? Joyce Meyer, Rick Warren. There are many false teachers that have gained popularity on the internet. You are aware that there are other preachers besides Joel Osteen. Why will you bring up Osteen, Meyer, and Warren again? It gets old. Well, I don't know all the names of all the false teachers out there, but practically all of them fall somewhere under the same ideas or philosophies as given by Rob Bell, Rick Warren, Joyce, Joel, Kenneth, Rob Bell, Brian McLaren, Juanita Bynum. I mean, I could sit down and just reel off a bunch of names. But I think it's just, I just make the assumption that when I give several of these names, you understand that anybody who follows after them or falls in the line with them, I am also referring to them as well. I hate to be tormenting you, Mike. Danny. Hi. That's all Danny says. Andrea, I have a friend who says she has trouble with the New Testament because God represented there seems very different in personality than God of the Old Testament. Nope. Same God. She thinks the gospel in the New Testament may be a grand scheme of the enemy to worship another God. Andrea, it sounds to me like you have a friend who has been indoctrinated by an element of the Hebrew Roots or Messianic group. Because I'm telling you, it doesn't take you long to listen to these people. They hate the way the New Testament talks. They can't stand it because it speaks against law-keeping or being Torah observant or saying God is only pleased when we follow Torah. And so they hate the New Testament. It's not a different God. And that, you know, I've never heard that, but that's funny to me. The New Testament is a grand scheme of the enemy to worship another God. And see, with some people, that's all you got to say. All you have to say to some people is, the Illuminati wrote the New Testament. I don't want to be in the Illuminati! And so they'll blindly follow all of this garbage that these Hebrew Roots people put out. It's similar to the people who say Francis Bacon, who is a Rosicrucian, edited and translated the King James Bible. Really? Well, I'm not going to read the King James Bible in. It's got Illuminati stuff in it. I'll be in the Illuminati if I do. That mentality, and just think about it. What the effect of it is, nobody reads the Bible anymore. Now nobody's going to read the New Testament. Oh, we're just going to do the Old Testament now. It's a setup. Andrea, it's a setup designed to plummet people into hell and under the mark of the beast is what it is. Because God promised in Deuteronomy, if you don't keep all of the laws that I gave you, then I'm going to put a yoke of iron upon your neck. That's the Iron Kingdom. And you're going to serve a king of fierce countenance whose tongue you will not understand. That's the beast and his armies coming in the last days. Janice, I had to laugh out loud at your encouragement of being a Berean. I always took notes in church and then asked questions of the pastor about his message. You're right. We were asked to leave, my husband and I, because I was accused of being Jezebel. Perhaps the pastor would not have been so quick to dismiss my questions if I had been a man. Thanks for the encouragement. Thanks for the continuing to present the undiluted word of God. Tommy on Facebook told me that he heard his pastor talk about Shekinah, and he goes to his pastor after church. Pastor, he waited till everybody was, didn't make a scene of it. Pastor, let me ask you a question. Can you show me where Shekinah is in the Bible? Well, it's in there. Well, can you just show it to me? Yeah, it's in there. It's the cloud. Shekinah. Well, no, Pastor, it doesn't say that. Can you show it to me? And he turned around and walked off. Chris. You know, sometimes I wish I had someone else in here to answer questions like this. Chris says the King James Bible is not inerrant. That's not true, sir. Really, Chris? Where's your scriptures? Where's your proof? Where did you get this doctrine of yours? Where did it come from? Did it come from your Bible? Were you reading the Bible? Pick a version. Were you reading the Bible one day where the Bible told you that God's word would corrupt? Show it to me. Show me the verse. Print it out. Send it to me. Because if you say that to me and these people who are listening to me, they're going to reject it because they can't find it in the scriptures. See, that's what Bereans do. Bereans don't just take this hand, this spoon-fed doctrine that says there are mistakes in the King James Bible. They don't just swallow that hook, line, and sinker like you did. They say, you know what? I'm going to search the Bible to see if that's there or not. And they look through the scriptures. They can't find the verse that says the Bible would ever fall into disrepair and corrupt. Rather, they find verses that tell them the words of God are pure words. They find that God said he would preserve those words forever. They find that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's what they find. They find that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And if the King James is errant, if it has errors, and all of the other Bibles do too, then the whole Bible idea is a lie. Because it contradicts what God said. So all you have to do, Chris, rather than say, that's not true, the King James Bible is not inerrant, rather than say that, why don't you just send me scripture? Dee Dee, you may read this on air. Thank you. Since I found you on YouTube, my life has changed a lot. I love your teachings, and I will be able to start attending your church soon due to auto financing I got. Auto financing. I was going down the wrong road with a friend of Joel Osteen's church. Dee Dee, a guy before you said that I probably shouldn't say that name anymore. But at least he led me to you. Bless you and give the glory to Jesus. Amen to that. Amen to that. Don't glory in me, people, please. I'll get in a lot of trouble. Okay? Hi, Pastor Mike. I read somewhere that the 153 fish mentioned in the New Testament had to do with the number of verses that Peter and Paul appear in. I just checked it with the King James Pure Bible Search software. And sure enough, Peter and Paul each appear in 153 verses. And interesting how Peter was the apostle of the Jews and Paul of the Gentiles. You know, that's interesting. David, what I want you to do is there's a feature on the software. I want you to copy, you can copy all the verses and paste them in an email or a Word document and send that to me at this email address. Wait until like Tuesday morning to do that, all right? That way I'll see it right off the bat, all right? But that is interesting. Pastor Mike, this is Tommy from Tennessee. Thank you for opening my eyes to the Shekinah glory. I go to a King James only church, and then last night, sure enough, my pastor called for the Shekinah glory to come down, and I did as you said and waited. I already talked about you, Tom. Waited until after the service to confront the issue. I asked him where it was, and he first said, I know about the Masons, Illuminati, and a red flag went up. Tommy, maybe you ought to just go to his office and sit down and say, Pastor, will you please show me where Shekinah is? Show me that word. Marcella. Hey, Pastor Mike, I truly enjoy and praise the Lord for your teaching. They feed my hungry spirit and slowly kill my sinful flesh. Amen to that. I wanted to ask you if you can discuss what's happening in the Middle East regarding the strikes Israel did to Damascus, and God bless you and keep that. I've not been following that as closely, probably as I should, simply because of so many other things there. It is interesting to me. My belief, my firm belief is that there is going to be a very, very nasty war in the Middle East, and Israel's going to lose. Okay, well, I don't know if I can say that. Jerusalem is going to be devastated. I think the remainder of the wall of the, that remains of the temple buildings, as mentioned in Matthew 24, I think that wailing wall is going to come down. My assumption would be that it would happen in some sort of war, but I don't really know that. But that is interesting to me. So that's something that we should watch. Melinda wants to know how I should handle this. I went to a church last Sunday expecting they would be serving communion. When I inquired, I was told they had not communion since Easter. So I asked, isn't communion a regular part of your church services? Not even once a month. And she said back to me, you mean the thing with the little cracker? To which I said back more coldly than I should have, the blood of Jesus Christ. I then got up and left. What should I do now? Should I write the pastor, go in person to meet him, or ignore it because it is not my church? Melinda, if it's not your church, I think that I probably would since you don't have an interest in this, it's kind of like filing a lawsuit. Can I sue the 19-year-old bomber of the Boston Marathon? Can I sue him for damages? No. When some would say, because he wasn't the real bomber. Okay. Let's say that he was. Can I sue him for damages? The answer is no, because I have no interest. I have no damages. I have no interest. I'm a disassociated party to that whole thing. I have no standing whatsoever to sue the guy who put the bomb there. Okay? And so, likewise, you went to this church, and they didn't have communion. Go somewhere else. Okay, you really don't have an interest in that church and that pastor. If he's doing things the way he's doing, he's probably got his reasonings for it, and you're probably not going to make any difference. All right. And I'll say this, and I don't know what you believe. I don't know who you are and what you believe. Communion is not salvation. It's not. That wafer is not really Jesus, and that cup is not really his blood. It's not. The New Testament is. And so, I don't know if you believe that. I don't know if you believe that we are saved by doing communion or what. If you believe that, I'm going to respectfully tell you, you believe the wrong thing, all right? Lisa, oops, just sent you a message earlier on the spirit behind Planned Parenthood. Actually, Dionysus enacted a revenge on the women who didn't believe he was a demigod and had one of them rip her own. Okay, I got it. All right. But yeah, it is interesting to me, and if you can find the link, send it to me. What? Linda. I am a Berean, and I cannot find anywhere in the Old Testament where it is prophesied that a new church will be formed by Messiah, or that this new church will not have to obey that which was given through Moses, because Messiah did it all. Can you give us the scripture verses from the Old Testament? Yeah. It's called Jeremiah 31. That's one place. All right? That's one place. Jeremiah 31. Let's see here. In verse 27, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will sow the house. Well, let's see, that's not. Here it is, 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers. That's the Old Testament, and that's music. But to say that the church is not prophesied in the scriptures, let me give you this. Number one, God throughout the whole Old Testament, type in the word Gentiles and look at it in the Old Testament. He said he would save the Gentiles. Isaiah 55:5, behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. And then God said in Jeremiah 31, it's going to be under a new contract, a new covenant, not according to the Old Testament. Your salvation and your belonging as a member of the body of Christ is not hinged upon you following the Old Testament law. It's a new covenant, a new contract, a new testament. And it's not based on the old one. That's what the scripture says. Keep studying, all right? Because you're missing something. Anyway, good to be with you today. I enjoyed this. There's only like 40 more emails to go through. Sorry I couldn't get to all of them, but we gave it a good shot, all right? And if nothing earth-shattering or God doesn't take me in some direction Tuesday, maybe we can pick this up again on Tuesday. All right, God bless you, Pastor Mike. We'll see you later, alligator.